This is from Bear Bait by Pamela Beeson, read by Veronica James. She hated fire. When there was fire, there was nothing else. The scent of cedar and wildflowers, the melody of bird calls and tree frogs vanished, leaving only smothering smoke and blistering heat, and the popping and crackling and hissing of death. And just when you thought you had finally beaten it into a flat, still blackness, fire could spring to life again, like a relentless villain in a horror movie. The forest behind them was still cool, green, quiet. The landscape in front cackled and spat like a battalion of demons. Every smack of the Pulaski radiated pain up Sam's arms and neck into her skull. Her sinuses burned. A section of downed limb flared up in front of her, yellow flames bright against blackened ground. She stabbed her axe blade into the rotten wood, flung the burning chunk into the flames a couple of yards away, clearing the zone at her feet. The wind was rising. The acrid air licked across her sweaty brow and stung her eyes. She hazarded a quick glance at Lily. Tears streaked glistening channels through black smudges on the girl's face. How long could the child keep up the hard work? For that matter, how long could she herself keep it up? Where was the rest of the crew? To her left, an arrow of fire snaked up the skeleton of a dead cedar. With a whoosh like a sudden intake of breath, a limb overhead burst into flames, a 4th of July sparkler that showered them with fiery bits of bark and needles. Sam curled her fingers into Lily's collar and yanked her out of the rain of embers. Caught off guard, the girl stumbled against her. Sam stepped back to recover her footing. The ground disappeared beneath her boots. What felt like solid rock slammed first into her spine and then collided with the back of her skull. Her jaws snapped together, her teeth sliced into her lower lip. The Pulaski crashed down across her thighs. With a great roar, the flame-lit surroundings transitioned into nothingness, like the screen pixels between photos in a computer slideshow. Was that Lily shrieking? The surge of blackness threatened to engulf her. No! Shake it off! No time to pass out! Lily's counting on you. Breathe. Now. Just do it. Now. With Sam's first painful intake of air, feeling and vision rushed back. The earth beneath her was cool. Far above the chaos of the fire, stars winked through thin streams of smoke. Later, toward the ground, Lily's smoke-darkened face peered anxiously down at her. And then there were other faces. Rangers Paul Schuler and Mac Lindstrom, and a gray-haired fellow whose name she couldn't remember. The roar in her head drowned out all other sounds. A stinging bumblebee of pain registered in front of her left ear, and she raised a hand toward it. Mac's heavy boots thudded onto the ground beside her. He swatted a glowing ember away. As if the burning coal had blocked her ears, her hearing suddenly returned. Mac's square face blotted out everything else. You shouldn't move. Groaning, she pushed herself to a sitting position. Okay, so don't listen to me. You okay, Sam?
Think so.
The air hurt her lip and tongue and the inside of her cheek, where her teeth had torn into the soft flesh. Her mouth filled with bitter liquid. She spat onto the ground. Blood ran down her chin. A quick exploration with her fingertips revealed a gash in her lip and a lump already growing at the base of her skull. Sam sucked in another deep lungful of air, coughed once, then gasped,
"Just knocked the breath out of myself."
Taking Mac's extended hand, she pulled herself to her feet.
"I'm too old for this shit."
The last words came out,
"This shit."
She spat again, dug a toe into the dirt, grabbed a root that spiked out of the earth wall overhead and pulled herself skyward. Mac's hands pressed against her buttocks, a gesture she would ordinarily have protested. Under the circumstances, she was grateful for the boost. On her hands and knees, she crawled out of the crater, feeling like a drunk who had just come to after spending the night on the barroom floor. A low wolf whistle sounded from behind her, and she glanced over her shoulder to spy a man leaning on his shovel, leering at her, his teeth unnaturally white in his smoke-darkened face. Just her luck. The only firefighter paying attention would be Arnie Cole, a smarmy Forest Service ranger she'd been trying to avoid since their first meeting over 2 months ago. A few yards away, Joe Choi, in full fire gear, clasped Lily to his chest. Catching a glimpse of her over Lily's head, he raised a hand and gave Sam a thumbs-up sign. In a line that stretched into the hazy distance, ghostly yellow and green-clad figures wielded shovels and Pulaskis. Over the crackling and hissing, she heard the loud whine of the portable pump on the lakeshore. Its racket added a treble note to the pounding in her head. Matt clambered up beside her, one fist clamped around her Pulaski. She stood on the edge, swaying slightly as she stared into the dark void. The crater was easily 15 feet across and at least 7 feet deep. Why hadn't she noticed it before? Was that always there? Always there? The three syllables stabbed. Blood streamed down her chin and sudden tears blurred her vision. She covered her lips with cupped fingers to smother the pain. How would I know? This is your area. Mac pressed her Pulaski into her hands and reached for the shovel he left on the ground. Ah, yes. The fire was destroying her area. Suck it up, Weston. Raising the Pulaski, she stumbled toward the glowing edge. She'd kill it for sure this time. Vengeance is mine, saith the fat-lipped firefighter. An hour later, the fire was out. Only a few acres lay in smoking gray ruins. Most of the firefighters, including Joe and Lily, had gone home. But the ones who remained divided the devastation among themselves and tromped through it toward the lake, stirring ashes and turning over smoldering chunks of wood to ensure the flames wouldn't spring to life as soon as they departed. Sam was pulverizing a smoldering ember into ashes when Mac yelped from 50 yards away.
Holy shit!
It took her a minute to locate him in the moonlight among the skeletons of trees. He was on his knees beside a charred tree trunk. Had he hurt himself? After making sure she had permanently blinded the glowing eye on the ground, she trudged toward him. Side by side, they stared at the blackened log, still smoking on the forest floor. It was wearing boots.